This is the story of you, where you came from, how and why you were born. It's the most fascinating, wonderful story in the world, because it's the story of life, and it has happened to everyone. What starts us living? And how are we like the animals in the way we begin our lives, and how are we different from them? These are questions we all begin to ask as soon as we grow old enough to wonder about ourselves. And I suppose the oldest stories told children are that the stork brings babies, or that babies are bought at a hospital, or that they're left in a basket on the doorstep by a good fairy. The truth of the matter is that 9 months before you were born, you were an egg. That's right. You were a tiny, tiny egg, so small that you were almost too little to be seen. You were smaller than the tiniest pinhead, and just as round as the dot a sharp pencil makes on paper. All people and all animals begin their lives as an egg. Whales, fleas, monkeys, elephants, birds, fish, snakes, and every other kind of creature started living as an egg. And so did human beings. We come into the world as babies, but before we're born, each of us grows to be a baby from an egg so small you could scarcely see it on your fingertip. And right now, I want you to look at your fingers for a moment. Turn your hands over so that your palms are up towards you. Now, do you see the little lines on your hand there and on each fingertip? No other person in the world has those same lines in just that same arrangement. And no other person in the world has exactly the same kind of eyes, nose, feet, or fingers as you have. You are the only one just like you who was ever born or who will ever be born. So the next time you look at yourself in the mirror, think what a rare and marvelous creation you are. And all of you came from a tiny little egg. And even when it was no bigger than a pinhead, it was filled with plans for you to grow up to be a certain kind of a baby. There were built-in orders for the kind of hair you'd have, the color of your eyes, the size of your brain, and whether you'd be a boy or a girl. And all of this growing up would happen in just 9 months, and the result would be you, a live, human baby. Now, of course, you know that every living thing has babies of the same kind as the parents. A mother and father horse only have baby horses. A mother and father rhinoceros only have a baby rhinoceros. And your mother and father, of course, only have baby boys and girls. But in one way, we're all alike. Every baby animal and every human baby starts from a tiny egg. So let's take a look at the egg from which you first began, because right here is the most mysterious, amazing, and miraculous part of the whole story. And to understand what the egg is made of, you must look at something alive under a microscope. You know what that is. It's a big magnifying glass. And under this, you see that anything alive, whether it's a leaf from a tree or a piece of skin from a person, is made up of a great many tiny, small little parts. Now, these tiny little parts that your eyes could never see without the help of the magnifying glass are called cells. And these cells are like building blocks. When Mother Nature puts enough of these blocks together, she can build trees or flowers or giraffes. You, for instance, are made up entirely of these cells. Not hundreds or thousands or even millions, but billions and billions and billions of cells all stuck together. And these cells are each made in different shapes and sizes. And what they really are is just a thin covering inside of which is a tiny drop of wet stuff. Kind of looks like the white of an egg. And right here inside this little cell is the secret of life. Nobody can make it. Nobody knows how nature makes it. But we do know something about it that's very important. New life is almost always started by the joining of two of these cells, one from the father and one from the mother. And you know this is true whether you want to make a baby porcupine or a baby girl. So no matter whether you look at a kangaroo or a whale or a dog or a baby, remember you can be sure of one thing. They all began as a tiny round egg from the mother, which was then joined to an even smaller little dot called a sperm. And that comes from the father. Now the sperm is an interesting little creature. It looks a little bit like the tadpoles that swim in ponds. It seems to be all head and tail, an almost round little head or body, and a very long tail, and with the tail, it can wriggle and swim. Now remember, it's so small that once this sperm meets an egg, it can actually swim right inside that little egg. And at that moment, some kind of a baby begins to grow. The meeting of the sperm from the father and the egg from the mother is the most important part in the making of a baby. So let's see how nature arranges for it, with the fish and the frogs, then the birds, animals, and finally, human beings like you and me. The mother fish lays thousands and thousands of eggs right in the water. Might be a stream or a lake or a pond or the ocean. And then the father fish comes along and pours his tiny little sperm over these eggs from an opening that's right under his body near his tail. Now remember, only the eggs that meet the sperm and join together will grow up to be baby fishes. And actually, very few of these eggs ever become baby fish because most of them are lost or eaten by other fish or destroyed in some way or another before they have a chance to grow. All right, what about frogs? That's very interesting. A mother frog lays many, many hundreds of eggs at one time, but before she lays them, the father frog gets on her back, and as the eggs leave the body of the mother, he pours his little sperm over them. And remember, once again, only the eggs that meet and join with the sperm will become frog babies. So you see, with frogs and fishes, the sperm from the father enter the eggs from the mother outside the bodies of the mothers. That is, in the water, in the case of the fish, or on the ground, in the case of the frogs. But in most other animals and birds and insects, and of course human beings, the sperm and the eggs join together only inside the mother's body. Now let's start with the birds. How are chickens born? You've all seen chickens. How do the sperm of the rooster meet the eggs of the hen? Well, the sperm comes out of an opening under the father rooster's tail feathers and enter the mother hen's body through an opening under her tail feathers. And the sperm swim through that opening and up inside the hen to where the eggs are stored. Now remember this, only one sperm can enter one egg. And right away, a hard shell forms over each egg and the hen lays those eggs and sits on them and hatches out the baby chicks. Now as you might guess, animals are different than birds. Let's take horses, for example. The father horse places the sperm in the body of the mother horse through a little tube that grows outside the daddy's body just in front of and between his hind legs. And the sperm come through this and go into the mother through an opening of her body between her legs. Now, once inside, of course, the sperm swim up to the place where the egg is, and with many animals, there's usually only one egg ready at a time. And after that sperm is joined with that egg, then the egg will grow and change and develop until it becomes a baby. Whether it's a baby horse or a baby cow or a baby lion depends on whether it's mother and daddy are horses or cows or lions. Now, of course, the mother horse does not lay her eggs the way a mother hen does. Instead, the baby horse grows inside the mother's body in a little hollow place that the doctor calls a uterus. And after a while, the mother gives birth to the baby colt out of the same opening through which the sperm entered. Well now, human babies are made in about the same way. The father places the sperm in the body of the mother in much the same way that animals do, and we call this the act of mating. But you know it's different from animals in several very important ways. In the first place, the animals usually have different mates every year. There's no family that stays together, and the babies are left by their mothers as soon as they can get their own food and get around. But human mothers and daddies like yours are in love with each other, and they plan to live together always. They want to share their troubles and happiness. And above all, they want to keep their babies with them so they grow up as a family. They're proud of their children because they know that each baby is a part of the father and a part of the mother. And so that's why you sometimes hear fathers say, "My son has the same color hair that I do." And mothers say, "Don't you think baby's mouth looks just like mine?" Now remember, the human baby started the same way the animal baby did. The sperm from the father, the egg from the mother had to join in order for life to begin, and they did this inside the body of the mother. But there are several other very important differences between human beings and animals that you should know about. For instance, have you ever wondered why it is that some animals give birth to a large number of babies, and human mothers usually have just one baby, and rarely two or three? For instance, mice and rabbits and cats and dogs have from 6 to 10 babies at the same time. Opossums have up to 20 babies. We call these litters. And birds generally lay 3 or 4 eggs at one time. But human babies are usually born just one at a time. And by the way, cows, horses, and elephants, and other large animals also give birth to just one baby at a time, as a rule. Not all animals take the same time to have their babies, either. The possum takes 11 days from the time the egg is fertilized by the sperm for the baby to be born. A mouse takes 3 weeks. A kitten is born in just 2 months. A monkey takes 5 months. A human baby like you takes 9 months. And an elephant, an elephant takes almost 2 years. So you see, Mother Nature has arranged things differently for each living thing. And this brings us to the most amazing part of this story about how you became alive. You remember that I told you that only girls become mothers? That is because only girls produce the eggs. And a girl begins to produce one egg at a time when she's about 12 or 13 years of age. And this happens once every month until she's almost 50 years old. When one of these eggs meets a sperm from a father, it may start growing into a baby. This happens when the tiny sperm swims into that tiny egg and the miracle of life begins. All of a sudden, there is no longer one egg and one sperm. These two things have joined together to become one, and we call this the fertilized egg. Now, this fertilized egg suddenly begins to grow. First, it divides into two parts. Then each of these two parts divides again. And all the new parts go on dividing and dividing, although they're still attached to each other. Now, this dividing is the way that the egg grows. And also its shape begins to change. One part begins to become a head. Another part begins to become a stomach. And other parts become heart and lungs and legs. And for the first few weeks, this little growing ball of life doesn't really look like anything much at all, except that at the end of the first month, you're already 10,000 times larger than the first egg was. You have begun to be a living creature, and you need to have food and air and water. How are you going to eat and breathe inside your mother's body? Well, now, here's a very queer thing. The baby, before it is born, does not eat with its mouth or breathe with its nose the way we do after we're out of our mother's uterus. The unborn baby gets food and air from its mother's blood through a tube that is attached to the inside of the mother and to the navel of the baby. Now, every person who's born has a navel. You have one right there in your tummy. It's a little round dimple. I'll bet you call it a belly button. Well, anyway, through the tube from the mother to the baby comes the mother's blood, which carries a very special kind of food and air to the baby. And this is how the baby stays alive and grows inside of its mother. After just 1 month in your mother, you begin to develop tiny little arms and legs and something that looks like a tail. Now, of course, it isn't going to be a tail at all, but the beginning of your spine. After 2 months, you are still smaller than 1 inch, and you hardly weigh more than a feather. But you know your face has begun to look like a face? You have a tongue, a mouth, and your arms have grown hands with fingers and thumbs. Even your brain is beginning to be formed. And, this is very important, you are definitely a human being. You are not a horse, or a cow, or a bird. You are a human baby. And at the end of the 3rd month, you can even kick your legs and curl your toes and move your thumb. You can open your mouth and swallow. And if someone could look inside your mother and see you, he could tell whether you were going to be a girl or a boy. Now, nobody can do this. So nobody will know until you are born if you are to be a Jack or a Jill. Well, by the 5th month, you weigh 1 pound. You are a foot long. You have hair on your head and eyebrows, and you have eyelashes. And by this time, you actually begin to get frisky and start to kick. Now, inside your comfortable little nest there inside your mother, you can squirm around. And your mother, of course, can feel these little movements, too. They don't hurt her because you're so little that your kicks are soft and very gentle. And mother loves the feeling of these movements because she knows that she has a living child inside her. And that is a wonderful and thrilling knowledge. The doctor also knows you're alive because he can hear your tiny heart beating. He puts a listening instrument on the outside of the mother, just over her stomach, and he hears the little ticking of your heart like a watch under a pillow. By the ninth month, your little room is getting very crowded because you're now big and strong. You're about 14 inches long, you weigh 6 or 7 pounds, and you've turned around, head down, waiting to get out of your nest and be born into the world. And then one day, your mother knows by the way she feels that you're ready to be born. The muscles of her body start to tighten up so that the sides of your little room begin to push in and out, squeezing down harder and harder, until at last you are forced down and out of the mother's body through the very same passage through which the sperm entered 9 months before. And sometimes it takes just an hour or two for you to make this short trip into the outside world. Sometimes it takes a whole day, or even longer. And usually you are born head first, stretching your mother just enough so that there's room enough for the rest of your body to follow. And then, almost at once after being born, you give a little cry. That's the way you start to breathe. And if you don't give this cry by yourself, sometimes the doctor gives you a little spank on the bottom, and that makes you cry. And from that moment on, you breathe by yourself for the rest of your life. Isn't that a wonderful story? That's a story of how you were born. And after you're alive and breathing, the doctor separates that cord that connected you to your mother because you don't need this little lifeline any longer. You no longer need the food and air from your mother's blood. And the only thing that you'll have left to remind you of those months inside your mother is that little dimple right there on your tummy. Now, perhaps you've wondered why so many babies are born in hospitals. First, mothers want to have a doctor to help make the birth of the baby easier. Doctors like to work in a hospital where everything is clean and where there are other doctors and nurses to help. Each baby has its own little bed and its own name written on a necklace around its neck so that everyone will know to whom it belongs. And after human babies are born, they need a lot more time to grow up than do the fish or the birds or the other animals. You know, fish can swim right after they're born. Most birds can fly away from their nest within a few weeks after they're born. And most larger animals, like horses or cows, can stand up on the same day in which they are born. And many, many of the animals are as big as their mothers by the time they're 2 years old. Rabbits are fully grown in less than a year. A baby mouse is large enough to have its own babies in less than 2 months after it is born. But here again, human beings are different. When a human baby is 2 or 3 years old, it would die if its mother and daddy didn't take care of it all the time. And it'll be many, many years before it's able to leave home and go out in the world and not be lost or hungry. But when we start our lives, remember, we start as the animals do. We begin growing when the sperm joins the egg inside the mother and grows in a warm, protected place. And if we could see the tiny eggs of human babies and of animals when they first begin, we would actually be unable to tell them apart for the first few weeks. Now, every living person in this world began life in this way. It is a lovely and wonderful story that will be repeated all over again when you grow up and find the person you love and who will love you and with whom you will have babies of your own.